the Rohingya, one of the most persecuted nations on earth. Their story forgotten. Mainstream media cares not. This Thursday, the 8th of December, is Rohingya Day. We'll chat to activists all across the globe, educating us on the Rohingya situation. Rohingya Day on Radio Islam International.
We now speak to Ajmal Masroor, Imam, broadcaster, fundraiser, and relationship counselor. His mission is to inform, inspire, influence positive change. Live from London at the airport awaiting a flight. Sheikh Ajmal, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. How are you?
I'm very well, and yourself?
Very well, alhamdulillah.
Today is Rohingya Day on Radio Islam. Now, why is it so important to keep this struggle alive in the minds of the Ummah?
I hope it becomes an international Rohingya Day, actually. It's a good thing you're doing. Well done. Rohingya is a group of people of Muslims who live in Burma. They're a minority, most persecuted and forgotten, like you said. More than about 1.5 million now live inside, and about 800,000 or more have been persecuted and ethnically cleansed of their homeland and kicked outside their homes by Burmese military junta and the security services and the Buddhist. Altogether, their only crime the Rohingya Muslims have committed is that they're Muslim. That's it. There is nothing else. They are accused of being Bengali illegal immigrants. But how long do you remain an illegal immigrant if you have lived in the country for the last 800 years or 900 years? I think this idea that they are illegal is being used as a justification for persecuting minority, raping women, gang raping, burning children and burning them alive in front of their parents, hacking people to death and leaving their bodies to be eaten away by animals, vultures, etc. I mean, this is barbarity at its worst. And unfortunately, the world is silent, the West is silent, the leaders are silent. When I say silent, they're not doing enough. And their poster darling, or poster girl for democracy and freedom, supposed to be Aung San Suu Kyi, she's also silent. In fact, she doesn't even recognize the existence of Rohingya people. All of these are tragic, but we cannot allow such brutality to go unchecked and unchallenged. And masses of people and awareness around the world like you are creating will hopefully change that tidal wave once and for all.
Yes, as you indicate, you know, they are amongst the most persecuted in the world. Why is it that the Burmese government and military see in the Rohingya? Why is it that they hate them so much? Is it simply because they are Muslim?
Yes, it is. In fact, they're just Muslims, and that's it. The minority, they're the largest single minority group in Burma, outside the Buddhist majority. In 1948, when Burma was independent and its constitution was formed, the Rohingya people were given full citizenship as Burmese people. They operated within that flourishing democracy until 1962, or around that time when a military dictator took over the country by a military coup, and he immediately discriminated the Rohingya people. He reformed a constitutional amendment where he stripped the Rohingya people of their citizenship, thus making them stateless. And since then, these people have been stateless. No government has yet recognized this plight or their plight. I think it's bigger problems at the core of this. I think the world leaders are silent because they want to keep the door open to an unexploited, found resources in Burma. Burma is still and has been in the lurch for a long time. They've got natural resource of gas, ruby, forest, and other minerals that the West wants. So Britain, America, France, Germany, and all the big boys in this global stage are staying silent because they want a slice of that cake. And if in that process a few lives is lost, a few lives are taken, a few Muslims are killed, well, it really doesn't matter. I am vexed by the hypocrisy of some of our government. They care for more about their trade than lives. And that angers me, and I'm pretty certain your viewers will equally be angered.
There has been a spate of attacks in recent weeks, yet the UN and international community remain silent. What can be done?
I think mobilization of mass opinion is what we need, just like we did with South Africa. When South African white apartheid regime was brutally persecuting even those who were freedom fighters and calling them terrorists, I think the world was mobilizing, global opinion was mobilizing, and racism and apartheid regime became unfashionable, unacceptable in the eyes of masses of people. So from Outer Mongolia to South Africa, there was a massive uprise amongst masses, and that's what we need to create. We need to have more international Rohingya Day. We need to have more awareness of the persecution of these people. That's one thing we should do, mobilize people. Secondly, we should embarrass and shame, name and shame Aung San Suu Kyi, demand that the Peace Nobel Prize Committee retracts their or takes her Nobel Prize away for peace that they've given her. For she has not only stayed silent, but she has remained in denial. And according to psychologists and experts, denial is the first step towards genocide. And worst is when BBC's Michelle Hussein was trying to interview her, she refused to condemn or even acknowledge. And then she complained off camera, "I didn't know a Muslim was going to interview me." That's how narrow-minded, bigoted her philosophy is, though she has been fooling the world by saying she's only interested in democracy. The third thing we should do is create a storm in our respective countries. When I say storm, I mean a political pressure storm. Write to your MPs, write to your local councillors, write to your foreign secretary, contact your media. Ask them, we want answers. We want investigations. And fourth and the final thing I believe we should do, and this could have been done long time ago had United Nations had any teeth. Unfortunately, United Nations is being held hostage by five big bullies. I call them big bullies because they call themselves permanent members. They're not permanent members. They're bullies. They block all the resolution that conflicts their own personal interest. America would veto any proposal against Israel. Britain would veto any proposal against its own allies. China would veto any proposal against its own actions in Tibet. You know, it's just unbelievable. In a world where we live, 21st century world, how can any country veto and block human rights investigations and actions against brutality and dictatorship? So United Nations, if it had any teeth and if it could have been reformed, it could have sent peacekeepers on the ground immediately. But unfortunately, that's not going to happen at the moment.
Now, when we look at the Muslim countries, and in particular Bangladesh, supposedly Muslim countries doing nothing to help them, in fact, only adding to the oppression, what is Bangladesh's role in the persecution of the Rohingya?
The Bangladeshi government has been rather nasty, but then Bangladeshi government is not unknown for its nastiness. I've been talking about this government for a little while now, and their nastiness and my own work has caused me to be banned in Bangladesh, as you probably know. I can't even travel there anymore. But human rights record in Bangladesh is appalling. So they don't care if human rights record or human rights violation take place at their borders. What the Bangladeshi government has said is that no Rohingya is going to be allowed in Bangladesh. If they come to the borders, they will be returned. And if border guards on the other side, which is in the Burmese side, would like to shoot them dead or see and push them in the sea and see them drown, it's not the fault of Bangladeshi government. Bangladeshi government uses a very funny logic. They say, if we allow the Rohingya refugee to come and stay in Bangladesh, then we are supporting and de facto allowing them to be ethnically cleansed of their own country. So, of course, politically, that's a good statement, that's the right statement. But morally, if you see somebody drowning in front of you and you have the capacity to save them, you don't let them drown. If you see somebody being shot dead, their families being burned, raped, you don't just stand there and watch. Any moral people, any people of any conscience would rise and say no. Bangladesh government has a fantastic opportunity to tell, a prime time for it to exercise its own muscles. 180 million Muslims live in Bangladesh. If all the Bangladeshis were to just stand at the borders and breathe in the direction of Burma, there'll be a thunderstorm in Burma. But no, Bangladesh government doesn't want that. And I know why. Because it's in cahoot with China to extract and use, as well as have access to the natural resources of gas has been found in the border region of Bangladesh and Burma. So peace entails that they share the gas, and Bangladesh government keeps a zip mouth when it comes to Rohingya people. It's a shame, embarrassment in my view, not just Bangladeshi government. I believe all the neighboring Muslim countries, including Malaysia, Indonesia, Brunei, they have not done enough. They've spoken maybe, but they have not done enough. I think there should be sanctions. I think there should be a threat, military action against the Burmese junta. And of course, there should be international outcry.
Is there still hope for changing the situation? Are they in a similar situation as Palestine and Kashmir, hoping against help?
I think Palestine and Kashmir has been in the forefront and has been highlighted, but Burmese people have been forgotten. They have not even been known for being people, let alone be supported or given an opportunity. So it's not the same, but unfortunately it's another genocide added to the list of Muslim genocides in the 19th, 20th and 21st century world. Palestine, we have Kashmir, we had Chechnya, Afghanistan, we had many other countries to add to the list, including Iraq, Syria, Bahrain, Yemen. It's an unending turmoil in the Muslim world. The major reason why this unending turmoil in the Muslim world is because I think Muslims are deeply divided and ignorant about their responsibility as well as their faith. So the only way forward is to get the masses of Muslim communities to wake up and realize their own conscience and their duties. Let me ask you a quick question. The first command in the Quran isn't to pray. I don't know whether you know that. First command isn't to fast. First command isn't to do Hajj. First command of Allah in the form of revelation is read, Iqra. And today, more than 40% of world's population and more than 60% of women in the world's population in the Muslim world are illiterate. We failed in our basic command to read and become literate. What do you expect from such a large number of illiterate people? They will have no power. Others will exploit them. So for as long as the Muslim world remains ignorant, they will remain powerless. And for as long as they're powerless, others will exploit and there will be no one to champion the causes. So this is the long-term outlook to the future. We need to change that. But immediately, raise awareness, campaign, make sure people are on the side of Rohingya people. We need to help and support them. We need to put political pressure and most importantly demand Aung San Suu Kyi should be stripped of her Nobel Prize status.
Absolutely. We wish you well for your travel. May Allah take you safely and return you safely. Continue with the great work.
And salam to everybody.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.